se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Jilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundacion Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
Coming up next, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the August 25th, 2022 show. Going to be having some clips, snips, and snaps from the Huff meeting we had today, as well as bits and pieces from the Union of the Homeless meeting that we had on Monday, and we'll be having a follow-up meeting to which all the public is invited. That's you. It's going to be 6 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 612 Ocean Street. It's going to be on Monday the 29th. And we are talking about Benchlands Defense. That's what a lot of this show is going to be about. And then I'm also going to be having a lengthy interview with Reggie Meisler, who's the defendant. No, he's not the plaintiff either. He is the complainant, I guess you'd say. He's the appellant, the guy who appealed one of them, the OVO, the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance, and won. But we're going to talk about the skullduggery that the city council is up to, because that's what they were up to last Tuesday, day before yesterday. So listen in, and you'll learn, too, what you may already know.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And let's kick things off now with the Union of the Homeless meeting that happened last Monday. That's the 22nd. At the Resource Center for Nonviolence. And before that meeting, Keith McHenry, who kind of master of ceremonied the meeting, went among the homeless folks in the benchlands who live there and who are threatened, were threatened, in fact, promised, with eviction by the city in the near weeks to come. Although I guess there's a four-month string-along, string-out time that may be involved for at least some of the hardier folks or the less accessible ones. Or in any case, there's a lot of people down there and they don't have their shelter, but they don't quite want to admit it because that would mean, it might mean an end to their whole project until they got real about what they have and haven't been doing around shelter, homeless services, and housing, which I'm sure they don't want to do, ever eager to paint a pretty face upon this ugly mug of the city council. So, in any case, with Keith McHenry was Commander X, who I know as Kerbugger Chris Doyen, when he was a co-host on this show a decade ago, and a very active person at the Peace Camp 2010 protests, which were staged in front of the county building and then in front of City Hall for several months, 24 hours a day, and which involved protesting the way a 61-year-old activist was being dicked around by the courts for the crime of sleeping. And it's something you can actually review the audio of by going back to shows from July of 2010 to September and October of 2010. You can actually hear Chris, myself, and other activists discussing this in detail. It was one of the best publicized protests that we've ever had, thanks in large part to Chris Doyen, who later became known as Commander X. Anyway, let's jump on this. What you're about to hear is the audio portion of a podcast that Chris Doyen did, which begins sort of in the benchlands and then goes into the meeting at the Resource Center for Nonviolence. You can actually see the podcast, and I'm, I guess the best way to do it is go to YouTube and click on or write in and search for Commander X. And then you can look at the first video, at least it's the first video at this time, X Speaks the World Through Sunglasses, and you're going to be hearing some of that now. But you can see it too, and you can actually see people's encampments and see the real people who are behind the voices, or at least images of them.
What it is they're going to they're talking about getting rid of everybody out of this camp, but there's no place for anybody to go.
And that voice, if you don't recognize it, is the voice of Keith McHenry. And the second voice is going to be that of Chris Doyen.
Go. So they've got, like, actually about 25 locations for people to go for everybody in the whole park.
Okay.
Well,
there's a list, but they're not 25?
Yeah. Yeah. No, 25 total people out of this park will have a bed to sleep in where they have to catch a van at 8:30 at night if they want to get back.
That's when nobody's ever armoring.
Yeah.
That's so unrealistic. I don't know why they do that.
That's why what we want.
So that's what we want to have the meeting about, so
yeah,
we can have. And we want to hear from is you folks and what you guys think of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is you guys.
Did you want to?
If she's willing, are you willing to talk for me? I have a live show going.
I would be at the armory, but it's the bus thing that runs for me.
Yeah, okay. If you're okay,
if you're okay.
Over there, yeah. Let me go by my friend. If you go down there, I will.
Yes, ma'am. So we're going to talk to one of the residents here at the Benchlands in just a second,
nice,
guys. I don't know. Still reminds me of Calcutta, India. This is crazy.
Yeah, so this is the bike area.
We're seeing kind of a bike hospital almost. That's very cool, man. That's very cool that they.
Probably a lot of people don't think it's a hospital, but a lot of people do. Look at how they're working on a wagon and things like that.
No, I know. It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to be crafty and trying to get ahead. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's just some magical down here.
Cool.
Okay.
Take your time. You're doing me a favor. So once again, guys, if you're just tuning in, we are live here in the Benchlands Homeless Encampment in sunny Santa Cruz, California. A very rich suburban community. Mostly technocrats from Silicon Valley and upper middle class people who tolerate this enormous poverty. Hey, Atchie John, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for tuning in.
So you made some really good important comments about it, which is what would be great to hear.
You okay doing it right here?
No, I don't want to. Just go around with the
Okay, sure.
Okay,
no
you.
Problem.
Okay. Do you have a phone I could check myself in, like a little mirror app or something?
You could see it in
Well, she can't.
Okay,
and she can't if she's on the screen.
Really good.
I just want to have, like, lipstick.
No,
you look fine. I just want to ask you a couple questions.
All over the world.
We're live now, so. And then we'll put it on YouTube afterwards.
That's on your webpage.
Yeah, it'll be on the webpage.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and on Twitter and everywhere.
Hey, man.
So we're going to get a chance to talk to an actual resident of the Benchlands here, and she's going to ask her a few questions. So this is the San Lorenzo River. It's actually a really beautiful little spot. If it weren't for so many people, is this good? Good for you? Hi, so I'm X, and can you tell me just your first name or what you want to be called?
It's called Sasha.
Sasha?
Sasha, from right against the street. Actually.
Yeah, no problem.
My name's Shanoa, but you can call me Sasha.
Huh?
My name's Shanoa.
Okay.
Sasha's easier.
Sasha. All right. Well, Sasha, could you tell me, thank you, first of all, so much for talking to my audience. I really appreciate this.
Yeah.
So we've just walked the entire length of this Benchlands encampment here, and you live here. Is that correct?
No, I spend a lot of time here, but I don't want to sleep in a tent by myself.
Okay.
Because I'm a woman alone.
All right.
So I kind of walk around at night and then catch little nods in the park during the day, but I definitely spend a lot of time here.
A lot of time. So it's for all intents and purposes home.
Oh, I know. Well, I know all the people here, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this routine where you sleep wherever and then you come here during the day? How long have you been in this position?
2 years. A year and a half.
And they're getting ready to the city. We can see we filmed all the fencing and everything, that how they're dividing the park up and putting the fencing up and everything. They're getting ready. Clearly, they're getting ready to make a move on this encampment.
Oh, so that was why it's going up? I didn't know for sure.
Yeah. And so what are your thoughts on the fact that the city has declared that they're going to evict this camp? They're going to destroy this camp?
Sir, I think that it should be moved. I think it's not fit for human dwelling, and the dust is really bad, and there's lots of rats and a little squirrel, ground squirrels, and that's so many bacteria in the dust. If it was a more fit and habitable place, I still would probably be for it because it's right in the middle of town. And,
right.
Not that I think homelessness is shameful, but I just don't think it's like a really nice first impression because of the way it looks. Like if it was more dignified, like a tiny home village or something, but mostly for me, I think it should be moved just because of sanitation. There's rats everywhere. We don't really deserve
okay,
that.
Okay, well, shouldn't,
a lot of times there's no water.
Allow me to clarify, though. They're not planning on moving it. They're just going to destroy it and let everybody sleep in doorways. That's pretty much the plan.
What are they saying? They're decreeing, like, a certain time frame, and then you have to leave?
Yeah, they're going to come in here and tell you to go. And then as they clear each section, right. That's why they're putting the fencing up. They're going to fence off one section after another. They're not going to evict everybody all at once, but they're going to evict in stages. They're going to close the entire encampment.
Someone's going to fence everyone in and send them to the Midwest.
Right. They have no plan, though, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, if they were going to give you another piece of land, you'd be happy with that, though, right?
Well,
a better piece of land.
We can all go back to live in the woods where we were. If they own the land, they have the right to tell us to leave. Really, it is public land, and I'm a homeless advocate. Like, I think it's really impossible to survive being homeless. It is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, people think homeless people are lazy. They work harder than any human being, and so do I have ever seen. I mean, we work all day and all night, basically, just to get our basic needs met.
And you've been homeless for a couple of years?
A year and a half, like this, and then 2 years before that, camping in Felton, which is up in the woods, and that was nicer, but still, humping all the water up, humping all the food up, it's a lot of work, but this is just dirty. It needs to be reseeded with grass. They should have an alternate place. You can't just uproot people, and especially elderly or people who have a lot of stuff, and say, see you later. I think they should give us more time than 3 days' notice. That's not enough. And sometimes they bulldoze, like I've heard on the second day. And they just bulldoze. And I think that's not fair.
And they're going to destroy everybody's belongings. The only things they have to survive.
If a lot of these people have hoarding issues and maybe bring, maybe not someone to help them decide what to keep and what to go, but maybe some able-bodied, let's get this out of here at least, but you don't lose all your stuff or for the older people, you know?
Now, I wonder if you were to play sort of a little, like, game of make-believe with me. Make-believe that I am a government official. I have unlimited resources. I have huge full pockets. I can literally do anything for you that you ask me to. My question to you is this. What would you need from me to get out of this situation and end your personal problem?
That's a really good question.
We're playing a magical game here. I can do anything you want. I can wave any magic wand. What would you need?
A camp that was clean and fit, where I felt like I could have a real home base. So like,
about a home? You wouldn't want me to give you a home? I have unlimited resources.
I know. I'm gonna get to that. So I'm gonna do like four realistic ones. I'm gonna do like 4 points. So the first one would be the camp would be habitable, so I felt dignified about myself. I have more self-esteem. No deaths, no health hazards. Like, we have staff and wounds a lot.
Can I show?
Yeah. So, like, something on turf, maybe, or something on cement. And consistent water, consistent soap. Showers on site. That's really hard for us. And a person at night to guard the place. Because as a woman alone, I don't feel safe sleeping alone. So, and it's a chance for more unity.
So we're going to start out with Commander X giving a couple of words right now about logistics of the live stream and so on. So, cool. Welcome, Commander X.
Thank you all so much. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. You know, I've been homeless. I want to make a disclaimer, I'm not currently homeless, but I have been, and I know that your life is full with taking care of yourself and people that you love. So taking a couple of hours out of your time, it's a real sacrifice. So seeing this many people come out tonight, it's really, really cool. My name is Commander X. I've been an activist for 45 years. I'm live streaming tonight on Twitch. I'm currently creating content on the internet, all sorts of content. Tonight it's gonna be about you. I recently got out of prison where I did 13 months in federal custody for organizing cyber protests on in defense of Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs chapter in Orlando, and the homeless people here in Santa Cruz. I have been arrested so many times here in Santa Cruz in defense of the homeless community that I can't remember how many times, but going back to the 80s. I've been standing up with you and for you, many cases living right up in the camps. So what I want to say, just beyond introducing myself to you and letting you know what I'm doing, is your life is full. I get that. You've got a lot on your plate. You're trying to survive. But I also want to tell you that the only way that we ever get change in this country is through resistance, through pressure, through activism, and through organizing. It's a lot to ask, you know, for people who are hungry, people who are searching for their next meal, people who are worried about whether or not they're going to have a place to sleep tomorrow night. It's a lot to ask, but you've got to do it. You've got to do it because otherwise they will take everything from you. So keep coming to these meetings, keep standing up, keep figuring out ways amongst yourself to organize and to resist. And I promise you that with the large view, I'm 60 years old, okay, 45 years I've been in activism, our country is considerably better today because of that kind of activism. It is a completely different world than it was 45 years ago. Ask the LGBT community. You know, ask all kinds of different people, ask the black folks, okay? Is it perfect? No, it's far from perfect. It's awful, okay? But it is considerably better than it was. So keep doing what you're doing, keep coming out, keep trying to activize more of your neighbors, and keep coming to these meetings, because as far as I can tell, being back here in Santa Cruz after 12 years, this is the best thing, the best way that I can think of that you guys can get change and that you can protect yourself and your loved ones. Thank you very much for letting me.
Okay, so the basic, I'm Keith, and I'm with Funa Bonds, and I'm also with the Santa Cruz Homeless Union and the State Homeless Union and the National Homeless Union. If they become an international homeless union, I will be part of that, I'm sure. so anyway, so I'm going to speak a little bit, and then Alicia's going to speak a little bit, and then we're going to have the people from the Benchland speak, and then after that, kind of generally have people speak. But we really want to give it, the purpose of these meetings is really to give a voice to the people that are being directed, impacted by the threat of eviction. And the news of the eviction is all ever changing. I talked to a reporter today who believed that they're going to do, it'll be all winter long that they're moving people out of the bench lands, you know. And then I've heard rumor of two secret places that they're not telling us about where people might go. We're supposed to find this out tomorrow night. That even is like and Robert might actually know the details of this, but we're going to meet tomorrow at City Hall at 5 o'clock for a rally because the city manager is supposed to be giving a report. So we know that in his report, an item, was it 90 and 91 on the agenda, which could be as early as 3 in the afternoon, but may not be. We do not know this information. I called Sandy Brown a bunch of times to see if I could find this information. She never returned any calls. As you know, when you call Sandy Brown, it takes a week or two to get a call back. But, and she's busy. We know so far on the agenda itself, it says that they're going to spend $280,000 on garbage disposal out of the bench lands, and they're going to try to ask for $1 million in homeless service money to be transferred from that to $1 million in restoring the bench lands. So we have millions of dollars for things like that, is the basic understanding, and they put up a bunch of fences, took down fences, now they're putting up more fences around the duck pond and so on. And we have a bunch of legal strategies that we have been considering. One of the most important things that we could potentially organize out of here is to make sure that we fill the, what do they call it now? Overlook, that used to be Gulf Lakes, which used to be some other name. And you can tell by the fact they change the names all the time that they're trying to avoid, that they know that everybody hated it the last time when it was called Gulf Lakes, so change the name. Maybe they won't know. It's a different thing, but it's even worse than Gulf Lakes. Gulf Lakes, which is now overlooked, is the 6 feet tents in the white gravel by the chain link fence next to the armory up by the golf course, which is, and if there people will speak on that, their experience of how they were urged to go there by Jeremy Leonard, got there, found out that it was not workable, and then moved back to the bench lands. And we had the first of these meetings, we had a woman who was so angry at her ill-treatment by the staff that she just headed out with her walker and left and moved to the bench lands. She actually started to sleep outside the bench lands, and the cops kept continually harass her and move her back to the bench lands. So, that's what we could expect from. So anyway, so one of our ideas is to try to fill Golf Links and 1220, the two places, with as many people as possible, so that when that would be essentially a block to the eviction from the bench lands, because they won't have any place to put anybody. So we, anybody that you know is really vulnerable, that might feel comfortable at the in a tent in the sun and doesn't care that they have to take a van in and out of town, encourage them to take a spot there, because right now I believe there's about 20 spots. It would be great if all 20 were filled, so that when the day came to evict people, they wouldn't have any place to put anybody. Therefore, it would be basically a violation of Martin versus Boise. And just to give you the broad, so there's a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case.
And before Keith goes on to describe that, let's take a little musical moment or two and take a breath.
I'm walking these streets with a cup in my hand, passing by strangers who don't understand. As I was a princess, someone's baby before, they can tell by my clothes not anymore. The night comes to greet me, and the dark closes in. I'm looking for doorways and some boxes to sleep in. The cold chills my bones, and the rain makes me ill. No one would blame me. Take one more pill. 'Cause nobody sees me, I'm lost and alone. Oh, Mom, how I wish you would come to the phone and talk to your daughter, 'cause I'm feeling so low, scared and confused. I'm missing you so. Now I hide in the shadows with fear in my heart. I miss you so much, can't believe we're apart. If I'd only thought about what I had done, I was determined, I was right, you were wrong. And nobody sees me, oh, I'm lost and forlorn. I know how I wish you'd just come take me home. 'Cause the light, it is fading, and I'm weak and confused. I've never felt so ashamed and abused. These clothes I have on me, they are tattered and worn. My hair, it is tangled, ain't been washed in so long. And I know you won't see me, I'm lost to you now. I just wish I could come home and fix things somehow. 'Cause nobody sees me, my pride it is gone. But the streets due to someone who once was so young, is to take all their goodness, their fun and their charm, and give it to someone who would just do them harm. Maybe tomorrow the sun will break through, and this pain will be lifted by the mere sight of you. And you'll tell me you love me, and you'll take me away back home to the memory that I think on each day. So I'll walk in the shadows, and I'll live for today, and I'll keep my eyes open, when I hope and I pray that you'll come to get me, when I'll hear you say, you're my little princess, I'll take you home, stay.
And that was a homeless song, and it has video accompaniment if you go to Commander X's YouTube channel. It was posted August 23rd. And originally, according to the notes, it was sung by Tom Byrne, who I don't know, but we just heard him, apparently. And there's some photos of the Benchland encampment as well. And it's the message is, please remember that every homeless person is someone's child, someone's little prince or princess. Now back to the Union of the Homeless. Speaking out slowly, beginning to gather steam and gearing up for action, which you can be a part of if you want to come to the next Monday meeting. Again, 29th at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, 612 Ocean. So think about it. 6 o'clock. So we join Keith McHenry.
We had the first of these meetings, we had a woman who was so angry at her ill-treatment by the staff that she just headed out with her walker and left and moved to the Benchlands. She actually started to sleep outside the Benchlands, and the cops kept continually harass her and move her back to the Benchlands. So that's what we could expect from. So anyway, so one of our ideas is to try to fill Golf Links and 1220, the two places, with as many people as possible, so that when that would be essentially a block to the eviction from the Benchlands, because they won't have any place to put anybody. So anybody that you know is really vulnerable, that might feel comfortable in a tent in the sun and doesn't care that they have to take a van in and out of town, encourage them to take a spot there, because right now I believe there's about 20 spots. It would be great if all 20 were filled, so that when the day came to evict people, they wouldn't have any place to put anybody. Therefore, it would be basically a violation of Martin versus Boise. And just to give you the broad, so there's a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case. If you're an unhoused person, you definitely know about this. And what that Ninth, we're in the Ninth Circuit, the Federal Circuit. And they have to provide you with an indoor location before they can ticket you for being an unhoused person outside somewhere. So, for instance, allegedly they're going to not violate Martin versus Boise, and they evicted everybody out of the Benchlands. Then, if you were camping on the levee, or, you know, just in front of the post office on the sidewalk, as has happened in the past or something, they really technically should not ticket you and not move you along and tell you to go anywhere, because they cannot direct you to an indoor shelter space. So that's the broad concept of the law. Now, city governments And in fact, the California League of Cities, which has had meetings with the city attorney meetings and city manager meetings and all these kind of meetings like that, they try to figure out strategies to be in compliance with that federal law while at the same time essentially harassing people, ticketing them, and taking their cars and all those things and not being in violation. So that's one of the things. And the other thing is on the litigation idea, I'm going to give you we have nothing set in stone, but we're going to do something. One of because of the way they are setting it out tomorrow night at City Council, one, we have to see what they're saying. Second, what we think right now, we're working with the ACLU and allies to help us in this, although it's going to really be the Union of the Homeless, Food Not Bombs, and the people that live in the benchlands are going to be the plaintiffs. And we're going to do a pro se, because that gives us a lot more flexibility and leeway to actually get to the issues at the root of this, whereas attorneys have to be attorneys, we think that it's going to be less effective. But we can use their ideas. And so one of the ideas is on the first group of people so the way that it sort of is standing now is on the Brentsaforte Creek end of the camp. They would take the first 20, 30 people. One reporter said 70 people from that section and offer them a place at Golf Links or Overlook. And if they don't take it, then tough luck. And if they're caught camping somewhere in the streets because they decided that it was not something they could do, then they would be ticketed, and that person would then be a very good plaintiff because there's legitimate reasons why going to Golf Links doesn't work for people. Another potential plaintiff, so then they would fence that area off, and you couldn't allegedly go in that area, and then it puts it to another section like that, all the way down until everyone's out of the bench lands. So that's what one of the rumors is, which we hope we find out more details tomorrow afternoon at City Council. So that's where that is at. So the things are, we're looking for plaintiffs. Another issue is to say, for instance, you accept Golf Links and you're in that group. You get up there, and then there will be stories from this room which will confirm this. You get up there, and they somehow don't like your attitude. And so they just suddenly put all your stuff out, and you're out of there. And now where you're supposed to go? That was the place you were offered if you left the benchlands. But now the place that you went to is kicking you out when you have no place to go. So these are all and that person would be a very good plaintiff as well. So also, when you're living outside and you're desperate for money, there's always a hope that the purpose of the lawsuit is that you get money. That has not been our experience. We don't sue from that perspective. We're suing to make sure that everyone has a safe place to live, and that they're not going to be woken up in the middle of the night every night and told they have to pack up and move to some other place. So even that could even if you don't get ticketed, that potentially could be something valuable for this litigation. That maybe their strategy will be not ticket people, but just order people to wake up in the middle of the night and move and go someplace else. So those are some of the issues that we're currently dealing with. I think a large presence tomorrow to show that there is a lot of opposition to just kind of having this weird game. I think the last thing before I introduce Alicia is, so when we sued last time, we got a temporary restraining order that blocked the eviction of the upper level of the benchlands. And then we negotiated with the city, and they put everybody down in the benchlands. And then for 2 years, if you were caught sleeping anywhere that was not the benchlands, they would eventually sweep you from that area and send you to the bench lands. So they created the conditions that are there intentionally. Because during those 2 years and $200 million, they did not provide spaces for the ever-growing number of people in the benchland. So they had the $200 million, but what did they do with it? They just paid salaries, they paid insurance, they paid rent, they gave like 40 pup tents out to the people that were kicking out of Oceania. You know, that's what they're doing with the... We provided under... when the emergency relief was happening, and there was $500 million provided by the state of California to buy hotels, I funneled repeatedly empty hotels to Robert Ratner at Housing for Health. I would take a picture of it, I would send it to him with the address and the name of who you could buy the hotel from, and he never bought a hotel. So they just took that $200 million and just sent it off to them. So to their own pockets, really, or the pockets of their friends, or whatever they do to it. But as you know, if you ever lived outside of Santa Cruz, it does not help people who live outside of Santa Cruz. And everyone always wants to know where all these millions of dollars go. And they hired a bunch more consultants. There's a $365,000 consultant, homeless consultant. That Alicia Poole did not get hired for that job. There is several other $200,000 or $150,000 a year jobs for homeless managers. That's where the money, or the case managers. You probably enjoyed your experience with your case manager. And how effective that is, and how that case manager disappeared by the second meeting, which is completely normal. And you never really, you got a housing voucher, which you held on to for 3 years, and you have to get a house. All the normal things. All these things are just what the homeless industrial complex of Santa Cruz and of the United States is all about. And essentially, they collect data on people who live outside, keep track of you. You get a number and all that if you're willing to cooperate for this dream of getting a housing voucher, which will allegedly get you housing. Now, the people that have been getting housing that I know of usually get housing frequently in Watsonville. Usually they lose that housing, but many people that I've met in the last few months usually don't even survive 30 days. When you look at the Housing Matters sign, 900 people housed, a lot of those people were housed for like 30 days, and they had substance abuse problems, mental health issues, whatever, and ended up on the streets. We'll answer your question in a second, and then I want to turn it over to the president of the Santa Cruz Homeless Union, and Alicia Kuhl, who was out on the streets for the whole pandemic, living with her family in an RV, tons of fun, and so do you have a real fast question?
Yeah, all right. Is there some other place in the meeting? A friend made a suggestion, and it was pretty creative and weird, but I also thought maybe it was something we could demand. Is there a place to ask that
question? Yeah, that will be right after the Benchlands people tell their stories, and then because we rented this place for 2 hours for that purpose. So first, because the people that never get heard are the people that are directly impacted and being forced to move. I think that's the, you know, from our perspective, nothing about us without us.
I'm just asking because it's a suggestion that I have for getting people some shelter. We could maybe get a lot of people sheltered, and it has to do with putting that demand forward to city council. If we're all going to gather tomorrow, one of the things I would love for the bench people at the Benchlands to talk about is what kind of demands they would like to make for the city.
Okay, that's a good idea. And then you have one brief question over here. Did you have a question or something?
Yes.
Or you just exercising?
I did have a question about this armory space. I had read somewhere that they were going to keep 5 kind of open so that they could always say that there's space and they could always take people out of Benchlands. I just wanted to bring that
up. Yeah, that's like a common scam that has gone on by cities since Martin Bruce's Boise. So, obviously, there could be as many as 500 people in the Benchlands. Very hard to tell who's an actual resident, who's a guest, who's doing business. But the... but the reality is that does not mean
I can answer that.
Just the fact that you have, you know, five places. So yeah, just so you know, everybody in the Army was evicted from the Army in June, and they went to the men's lands. And now those same 70 people have to go back to the Army. But So all these little things that you might read about the city saying they're doing this and that, it's just they're trying to get around. They're doing that so when they go before a federal judge, when they sue them, they can say they've got like these five places up there. So there's always a place for somebody. But there obviously, you have 3,000 people living outside at the minimum in Santa Cruz County. What Martin versus Boise would indicate, if you're going to follow that as a real law, would be that 3,000 indoor shelter spaces would be available. So they clearly do not have 3,000, indoor shelter spaces in Santa Cruz County. So.
That's actually kind of what I just that's one thing we might actually challenge in my laws, is that there are several holes in Martin versus Boise, but that is like one challenge right there, is that it does say that if the shelter capacity is lacking for the entire homeless population, that you cannot criminalize those that are sleeping on public property. And so that would mean, like, everybody, not because you have five spaces, you can go ahead and criminalize everybody. So if they started to do that, we would definitely need to challenge that. I don't particularly have a lot to add to what Keith said. He kind of went over a lot there. We are looking at several different legal strategies. We are in talks with the ACLU. Because of our past litigation with the city, they're very careful in how they drove this plan. They know that you would do an immediate injunction. That's typically what we've done in the past. And they kind of know what grounds we would do it on. And so they've written up this plan very carefully to where it says that if they run out of shelter spaces, they'll stop evicting people. And so essentially, if they do that, you know, that's great. They're only moving people that they have adequate alternative shelter spaces for. If they do something besides that, that's where we're going to really need to step in. Because that's what we're keeping an eye on. Tomorrow's city council meeting will kind of unveil more of that plan. So far, we've asked several times, you know, what exactly is your start date? When do you plan on moving people? They have not been clear as to a direct start date. So we are waiting on that. Keith did talk about, the funds mismanagement. It is true, over the past year, there hasn't been a lot of action, you know, case managers helping house people or relocate people. Only when it's talk of closure does the city talk about bringing in case managers and things like that. But over the past year, they have hired a new city manager, a new police chief, and a new homeless advisor. So that's a lot of money. That's where, you know, the money goes. That's extremely disappointing, you know, for all of us that rely on solutions that are not being done. We just keep getting more staffing, you know, more opinions, but really not more answers. And so with that being said, I would invite open mic for discussion, but that's kind of where we're at right now, and we're very closely looking at what angles can we do here if the city does make a mistake regarding litigation?
Okay, so now, who from the bench lands wants to go first? Go on. Blue, do you want to go first? Yes, you do. Okay. Kazoo goes first. Yay!
My real name is Kazoo, but I go by Mike Whiteside. I'm from Lodi. I ended up here two or three years ago in Santa Cruz because of a bad divorce thing, and that doesn't matter. We're not talking about me so much, but I live in the bench lands, and I used to live in the parking lot of Lot 27 where we serve food. the cops figured out somebody to arrest me for something. And then they said, every night they come in like 12 to 2 or whatever. Get out of here if you're here. We're going to arrest you because, you know, you've been in trouble before. So I leave. I'd be scared to death. But then I was scared of the bitch slaps. So I finally got to the bitch slaps. It was paradise. It was really paradise. I thought, oh, they're going to kill me. They're going to do this. Nobody did anything but love me. And again, you people here, I love you like my brothers and sisters, because we wouldn't fucking be here if we didn't have to be here. So we're here. So let's make the best of it. And he said they're going to run me out of here. That's fucked up. But they are going to. They will run us out of there because there's too much non-control down there. You know, there's like, they do what they want, maybe a little bit, but we're all controlled. And what's going to happen is they're going to get us in a little community thing, and then they're going to like, you smoke cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes. You smoke cigarettes. You do any kind of drug. You do any this or that. You can't be here. So we're going to move you from the bitch lands to some environmental health place. If you smoke cigarettes, you're going to leave. If you do any kind of drug, you're going to leave. Why are we on the bitch lands? Because we smoke cigarettes. We didn't do things maybe perfectly right. Things are perfectly good down there. But homeless people, we didn't, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it, but we didn't do things maybe right, we didn't do things wrong or something, but we're here, let's enjoy it, let's be the best of things, but they're not doing that in Santa Cruz here. They're making us like we're vicious people because we're homeless. There's a million people, well, excuse me, 200 or 300 down there, maybe 400 or 500 of us down there, but 200 or 300 of us don't do anything wrong. We live there. We eat. We don't have a good job. Santa Cruz is like, what, $3,000-$4,000 a month rent? I don't know if you guys did the numbers, but $15 an hour is the minimum wage now. Getting very close to that. So they're going to put you in a cage, and they're going to say, well, you don't belong in this cage. And they're going to kick you out of the cage if when you go to this one of these places he's talking about. I don't know. I don't know not much about that. But they're literally cutting your leg off. They're going to, I'm going to put you in this spot. I'm going to cut your right leg off. And maybe you can make it the other spot. No. Mr. King or Mrs. King, whoever who he's talking about, years ago said, let's not be homeless. Let's not have homeless people. All they have to do is share a little bit of the peace, not a big part of your wealth, peace, and take care of us. Nobody's great. And I'm not here. Thank you. And I love every part of you here. I love all of you. We love
you. Okay. Robert, you may have to come up here. So that we can.
You don't come up here. I'll come back again.
Yeah, go on. Okay, Blue, come on.
Go, Blue. You're up.
Come on, everybody. Let's come up here.
I just seen Phil Gilbert to Dallas Park as we're coming here. I tried to hide. I don't want to be on TV again because he marked me as a homeless guy, hero. But I've been hearing people from the city every day talking about saying, you need to take your tent down. They don't know I'm in there. I want to come out and I want to rip their heads off. They're saying, you need to leave. Okay, I remember reading 8 months ago to Keith that the city, in their own words, they posted that it took down about half of 30 days on Facebook because of things, that the city doesn't get paid to help the homes, you have to put to the county. That's in their own words, as I told you before.
And that's Robert speaking, not this Robert, but another Robert. But here's some music while we take another break.
I sell morning papers, sir. My name is Jimmy Brown. Everybody knows that I'm the newsboy of the town. You can hear me yelling, Morning Star, running along the street. got no hair upon my head, no shoes upon my feet. My father died a drunkard, sir, I heard my mother say. I am helping mother, sir, the journey on my way. My mother always tells me, sir, there's nothing in the world to lose. You get a place in heaven, sir, to sell the gospel news. I sell the morning paper, sir, my name is Jimmy Brown. Everybody knows that I'm the newsboy of the town. You can hear me yelling, morning star, running along the street. I got no hat upon my head, no shoes upon my feet. They tell me, little darling, that tomorrow you'll be wed. You're thinking that you'll hurt me, but you hurt yourself instead. I'll always be the same old pal, just like in years gone by. I just sit back and watch you while you sit alone and cry. Tears falling down your pretty cheek. Tears you cannot hide, tears you cannot keep. Now there are tears of sorrow, tears of delight. But I wished I had a nickel for every tear you shed last night. I found him by the railroad track this morning. Now I could see that he was nearly dead. I knelt down beside him and I listened, just to hear the words that the dying fella said. He said they let me out of prison, out in Frisco. For 10 long years I paid for what I'd done. I was trying to get back to Louisiana to see my Rose and get to know my son. Give my love to Rose, please won't you, mister? Take her all my money, tell her buy some pretty clothes. Tell my boy that daddy's so proud of him. Now you don't forget to give my love to Rose. Too many parties and too many pals will break your heart someday. Too many boyfriends and sociable gals will drive your sweetheart away. Show me prison. Show me jail. Show me a prison man whose face is growing pale. And I'll show country.
And that was a prison medley by Phil Oakes live at the Troubadour, June 12, 1974. I think it was a year before he died. That was in Los Angeles. And I've heard some of it before, but not all of it. And, well, that's what it was. And actually, the medley consists of Jimmy Brown, the Newsboy, I Wish I Had a Nickel, Give My Love to Rose, Too Many Parties and Too Many Pals, and of course, the more famous song, the one that's more familiar to me, There But for Fortune. So to hear more of Robert's speech, and it goes on for a while, you can check out the video, the Commander X video. So we skip ahead to the next speaker.
Sometimes you're like, you know, unheard of or just out of the ordinary, or that's Santa Cruz, you know? My name is Jack Brian Rodriguez, and I've been homeless for about 2 years. I became homeless. I was living in Texas. I was a worship leader. I was a youth leader and helping two businesses. One was a youth moving good business where we get people from a recovery home that we established there in Austin, Texas, and we put them to work, moving college students or those great old Texan folk. And then the other one was refurbishing homes and starting small, tiny home communities. I'm from California. I grew up here in Santa Cruz, and I was born in San Jose. And March 2020, I got a knock on my door, and I guess I had a two-year-old warrant from a toxic relationship that I had no idea over. I left to Texas to get away from the toxic relationship, and the person I was getting away from called an alleged, some charges against me that were false. And because it was a domestic charge, regardless if she dropped the charges or if they were false, the DA grabs it and takes it. So for 2 years, I had this warrant I had no idea over, and it was a $100,000 warrant, and it made me a fugitive. So in March, for some reason, there was like some upgrade, and I got a knock on my door, and I was housed in Austin, Texas, in Travis County Police jail until Santa Clara came and got me, which was 14 days, and they extradited me in Santa Clara, and within 8 hours, they released me transient with two ankle bracelets. That was March 7th, and so that was my Monday. That Saturday was shelter in place. Now I was not only just forced outside, transient with nothing, 4 states away from everything I had, I was outside during a pandemic. I thought it was at the end of the world, and I was just the only one outside. I literally saw tumbleweeds and like platoons of cops telling everybody to go inside, and I'm like, you know, I can't, you know? And so it really did something to me. They told me to build shelter because I didn't know what to do. I was going to break into something, you know? I thought, I didn't know what was going to happen. All I know is they were telling me not to be outside. And when they told me to build shelter, I came here. This is my home. And I found home here. This is probably the most, the homeless here is the most support group biggest support group I've ever seen. Like I said, there's love here. And I think, and we found a community. We found a home. I found a home within the community. So it's very serious to me what happens. Because it's my home. You know, they come and they I don't know what they think they can do when they just, like, bulldoze or shut up, dude. Like, I mean, like, that's all I had, you know? And, it's not right. Because they're not just dealing with people who are drug addicts or who are thieves, but they're dealing with people who are trying to survive, you know? I met a young couple the other day. They were from Phoenix, and they came here to California, and they became homeless, and they didn't know what to do, you know? And so I accommodated them as much as I could, you know, with a tent and stuff like that, and I told the guy, you know, this isn't a failure for you, okay? This is the result and the reality of this generation. You know, this is happening not just to you, but to hundreds of people right now. This is what's taking place. So it's not like, you know, or 2 years ago, this homeless war against the county. And no, this is what's happening to the youth and to my age group people. You know, it's those people who were living paycheck to paycheck, lost their jobs and lost their living during the pandemic. And this is the result of it. So, solution. And if they gave us any kind of leeway tomorrow, or they said demands or whatever, or requests, or, you know, to relocate, okay, there's property. There was property on the market for 7 years. They just took it off. I don't know, but it borderlined the Poconos. You know, not even trying to touch the Poconos, but hey, the Poconos. I mean, they had the Homeless Garden Project, which was a good plan, but stopped it because of construction. Construction of a way. Hopefully, it was really important construction because people's lives got stopped. I'd say we pick up there again. Or, you know, if for us as the community there in San Lorenzo, we need to show them that they can. And without that, you know, forget their help. I know that we can do it. It's the same. We can do it ourselves. I mean, if we come together and we organize ourselves and we come up with a plan, there's enough finances down there. There's enough finances we can run. We can raise that we can show the county, you know, we can do it ourselves. And the money that is there for us can be saved for something more than just housing. We can be saved for buying the land that we ourselves can do the housing ourselves. Like I said earlier, our last meeting, I was talking about coming up with a blueprint for tiny homes. Refurbished tiny homes that we can tiny home kits that we can that are ready to go. You know, for single or you know double dwellings. But like I said, we need paperwork. We need a proposal. We need people to come together that know how to do those things. And I know that they're down there. So, like I said, it's very serious to me. I have been talking to the residents there in San Lorenzo. If they come and try to move me, I might move it. I don't know if they're going to I mean, that's my what are you going to, they're going to arrest me? Okay. I mean, they're going to arrest all of us. That's against rights right now. That's our home right now. And unless they have a place for us or help us with a solution, you know, then I'd say that they need, you know, there's a fighting chance for us. I know a lot of the time it's been like a hopeless, you know, like they're just going to move us, they're just going to pull us over. No, it's not a hopeless thing anymore. Like this is our family, this is our home, and we need a placement. We need to occupy something, or they need to give us something because it's going to take place. I feel. Instead of being too crazy, you have to be too crazy. It's not a solution.
It is very common to hear people are saying they're going to refuse to leave. And then if you look at how beautiful many of the homes are down there, you know, it just would be heartbreaking to bulldoze them. And Blue is famous for nice housing arrangements. Troy is. I don't see Troy in here yet. Another good job. Who else wants to speak from the benchlands? Any more benchlands people that want to speak? Anybody want to speak?
All I got to say is fuck
the Okay, cool. And did you lose your hat?
Hi, my name is Justin Horton. I've been homeless in Santa Cruz for about 6 years now, I guess. So I started, I had a $100,000 job with the railroad. Things happened at work. It's an accident and stuff, I guess, the PTSD, laid off. Anyway, I've been homeless for 6 years now, and the cops have taken everything from me multiple times. Just taken. And I'm tired of it, man. I'm over it. And, that's all I got to say, really.
That's great. Anybody else want to speak? I don't got the best on the people. You want to speak? Okay. Come on, wizard. Lynn has some wizardness.
Well, last night, the police came to my tent, but they couldn't get out of the car because they were all smashed by George. And two of them were, but the other ones didn't get out of the car either. So they were broadcasting, we have to leave our property. So I had the Mockingbird make them go mute. They can't talk to me for 45 days. And the cops came over, you know what that ripped the fence out of three out of four of them, and they're all in the hospital. As far as I know. But George was the one who smash them again, and they're not going to be able to swallow any tickets. So let me tell you who I am. I'm a person that got rid of the IMF. I changed the economic paradigm from cash and more to free issuance. And my company is a free issuance company. Those companies that have Bitcoin and those other electronic transfer guys, they all took my ideas. They didn't know how to implement them. There was no phone to call. You couldn't verify it. You couldn't do anything. But there are certain people that can issue money. Those are the ones we appoint. So if anybody wants to turn $10 into $40 million or $100 million, talk to me and I'll help you out.
Amen. Okay, come on, there's some more better managers out there that need to say something. Okay.
When I was just about to leave, but my buddy pointed something out to me and showed me something. It just came in 2 hours ago, and this is on his news feed on the Google or whatever. It's from Indianapolis, but it says a federal judge has decided police can no longer destroy property belonging to homeless people. The ruling comes after a 2020 lawsuit on behalf of 9 homeless people. They say authorities in Minneapolis and Hennepin County violated their constitutional rights by forcing them out of their encampment, out of an encampment on public property and destroying their belongings.
Okay, Robert, what do you have to say?
I've got to say, we have to get UCSC on our side because of Delaware. One night, I was parked there, and an officer tried to give me some leave. And I said, do you not understand what a handicapped factor avoids all that? She kind of said, yes. But because the University of Santa Cruz owns from the railroad tracks all the way down, that they don't want people parking after midnight here. So we need to have people protest the university because they own that whole property lot. This is told by the officer, they're the ones that want their, the 12 o'clock, no more cars parked here. So we need to have people protest against the university because they're just as filthy as a city. Let's fill it up, of course.
Yeah, they just leave that big, that parking lot, huge parking lot, empty.
Like I said, you know, you have to go to the farmhouse. They can turn that into a place, an open land here, because you don't have a car. But the University of Santa Cruz is guilty of part of having people's RVs towed because they don't want no one parking after midnight.
So we have a friend,
I was told that by the officer himself when I was there. They let me stay there because he was like, well, you're right, but you're wrong, but you're right. But because handicapped, you're not allowed to, you have no time frame. And I do have a handicapped flagger, so she let me stay there. But she's the one who told me that the university has a lot to do with the cars, you know, on that street, and that's what everybody needs to know. I never brought it up before, but I forgot. But there's a lot of stuff that I...
So you got to come up here.
No, I just want to give a direct response.
Okay.
Now, the university is... Those people, when there was a bench last, like when I was in Ross Kemp, when they were going to court, people were saying, we need to get the university to be on our side. And I was out at Ross Kemp. But I said, they're not going to be there. They're not going to stick with us because we don't belong. You're another group of people themselves. They don't look down at the locals here. Now, growing up here on the west side myself, back in the 80s, early 80s, 70s, early 80s, when there was homeless people, you didn't see the garbage on the streets. You barely ever saw anybody. But they were there. But now...
I just wanted to say to your comment that a lot of the students have been homeless.
Right. I'm going through the housing problem. Right. Okay.
Thank you. A lot of the students are homeless. They have been organized. And part of the issue is we need a group of homeless people who are going to continue to organize. And with the students would be a really good idea. They same thing with them. They end up in their cars up on campus in the woods. They get hassled by the police. They get their things taken. They get their lives interrupted. These are paying students. Students are paying
So I
wanted to say that, and I just want to say one more thing, that what's happening here is very unique. I've been organizing with homeless people for years and years and years. This is unique, and I'm hoping that you all will organize and show up also tomorrow and build show the city the opposition.
Can I say something?
I have a problem.
Real quick,
I have one problem.
Real quick, I just
want to
add one more thing, and then I will show that. I think that the one of the things that we need to understand is the people of the benchlands right now, that they can take their valuables, and I know this is a big thing, but if they can protect what's most important to them,
right.
If they can find places to put it, so the cops, I know that's really hard, I just wanted to put it out there, but so that when the cops do come, maybe it's a birth certificate, maybe it's a ring, especially the small bag of maybe we can keep that from getting taken.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
I have a
problem with that, but you gotta get.
I just want to say something real quick. Before we get off topic,
yeah.
Real quick. Okay. If you didn't witness what I just witnessed, we kind of got off topic. Not that it wasn't important what you were saying, but you said we were unique. And what was happening was unique. And so right now, what I was portraying, what I was talking to you guys about, was something was wrongfully done to me, right? And then not just me, but a lot of people. You guys were thinking about, you know, what was taking place, the bulldozing and maybe the wrongful doing and agreeing what was taking place, right? But I believe that the synergy here, or the, just the synergy was taking place, the uniqueness was going on. There's always been magic here in my city, in Santa Cruz. Magic all throughout, whether it's serendipity, whether it's synergy, whatever it may be. But we just had him come back in after he was about to leave, and he gave us an announcement. He said that there is a ruling saying that they can no longer touch our property. That's an answer.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not go back and forth for a bit here. Let's get more people to speak, because also it doesn't come through very well unless you. And any of you over there want to speak?
God bless you guys.
Anybody over here want to speak? That's anybody from the benchlands more that wants to speak? Cool. Okay. So. Anyway,
question.
So now we have more questions or comments from people outside the benchlands. Yes.
Was that ruling federal court?
I don't know if that. Did you see that
ruling? Just said it was from court.
If it's a federal court, it's actually somewhat useful for us, because that would be another circuit. If it depends on if it's, but it might be a district court. But it does show that some judges are starting to somewhat be, in other jurisdictions, are being open to the idea that it is seizure of your property and so on. So we'll definitely look, I don't know where Lisa went, but we'll definitely look into that case and see if we can talk to those attorneys and find out how that was won. Because, this is really important. That it's mostly going to be us organizing that changes conditions. It's not, and it's the only way that the actual judges will understand that they have to rule in our favor. The other thing to point out, and I think almost everybody would agree, that, you know, right now there's roughly 3,000 people living outside of Santa Cruz County. It might be about 4,000, might be 5,000, unclear. We do know that there's, 660 thousand households that are over 2 months behind on their rent in the state. The rental payments that you get here are for 2 months from Community Action Network. Would be a total of $5,000 or 2 months worth of rent directly to your landlord. Now, some people, I've run the people who actually successfully did get 2 months rent paid. But if you're laid off in March of 2020, then, which many thousands of people were, then the eviction moratoriums are ending, and then that means that's why there's a crisis in this winter, directly, of literally a doubling of the unhoused population in Santa Cruz. So if we say that there's only 300 people in the benchlands, which, you know, might be the case, maybe more, then you can imagine there's like an extra six, you know, another 300 or 400 people in the next, by the next few months, that need to also be accommodated with indoor shelter space. Now, in 1988, I spoke at the invitation of Robert down here at City Council when we were getting arrested in San Francisco, feeding people, and I've been feeding people since outside since 1980, and And I've seen an huge increase in number of people becoming homeless between 1980 and 1988 when we moved to San Francisco. And then it just got bigger and bigger. So my suggestion to city council is that they project that there's going to be more and more unhoused people. So your solution has to not be for the 500 people at the bench lands today, but to be looking ahead. And in 1988, my suggestion was that they build single room occupancy hotels with the vision of seeing that there's going to be more and more homeless people all the time. And now it could be a cascading of homeless. And even people like Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan and so on are all talking about the Great Depression and so on. And what is interesting, the other thing I want to also say is I spent a lot of time in the bench land, and it is magical down there. And it's incredible, the energy in the families. And you could see, and there's many, you can't tell from walking just down the middle path or up on the bike path how many people are in those little groups of people. There's little living rooms and entertainment centers and kitchens. And there's an entire beautiful community of people down there who have, and the struggle to be able to actually somewhat harmoniously survive in a situation where you have, you know, people coming in there trying to peddle their wares, which aren't always necessarily the most healthy, and things like that. It's incredible that there isn't more conflict. And people, though, do have to police each other in that community, and it can be tough, but I've seen it from the beginning of the Benchlands to now. People have really built, like, this amazing community. And so yesterday when I was going through, the entire pathways all the way from one end to the other had been raked. And all the garbage had been either placed, and this is with the city ending their trash pickup. The people themselves have really mobilized down there, not with outside help trying to get them to do it, just them doing it. Partially maybe because of the threat of eviction, but it has been really impressive how well the structures are built, how neat everything is, relatively speaking. And so it is a really inspiring situation. Now, my personal concern would be it would be great if it stayed there, but eventually it's going to be a flood. And so there's my demand would be to city council that they find a place for what will be like 6,000-8,000 people that is in smaller groups, that people have autonomy, because that's the other thing the city is, I wrote like a thing called Santa Cruz City Officials Puzzled by Reality, and that's because they were shocked that they would send people to Overlook, and they 3 days later they'd be back in the bench lands, and they're like, they couldn't understand it. What they don't understand is we are not children. Maybe 30-40% of the people living in the bench lands fought in wars for the United States. Why should they have to be in bed by 8? What government is telling people that they have to be in bed? And they just don't see us as humans. They have spent decades saying we're vermin, we're transients, we're vagrants, we're drug addicts, we're mentally ill. And so after decades of that, I call it class blindness. They have no idea about the reality of living outside. And then they make these weird laws that we look at and we're going, how does that in any way relate to the reality of a person that lives outside? Because it's like they're two different, it's like a magical thinking. That was the other one, Nowhere Land, magical thinking of Santa Cruz City officials. Because it's almost like everybody has to evaporate or some reason you'll just like walk away from the camp and go rent a $2,000 a month studio apartment. Or something. I don't know what they're thinking. It's just not. Well, you have, and then I, we have, you know, there are a lot of resources. People put like a little bit of their money together to do things. As you can see, there are like solar panels. I don't think all of them are stolen from somewhere. And but people are trying to live, and it's going to get to be, the experiment that is now called the Benchlands is going to be the future of life for millions of Americans.
And we'll be hearing more about that after this.
and the fruit boat's right on the waves, and the crew will dream of return back to the Florida waters for the work of unloading onto the train. And the ships will dance by the shore with fruit from Venezuela, Brazil, and Costa Rica. But the fruit from the island of Cuba is carried no more. And on the decks it will lay, bit by the hands of the peons, at the lowest possible wages. All the profits are made by the strangers from far away. Now some pick the fruit of the vine, while others will go to the mountain and eat the fruit of the hillside and learn the way of the rifle and wait for the time. Millions of dollars are spent to raise the tower and build it for the weary bones of the workers, so they will be strong in the morning to go back again. And the companies keep a sharp eye and pay their respects to the army, to watch for the hot-blooded leaders and be prepared for the hunter to crush them like flies. So heavy the price that they pay, as daily the fruit it is stolen over the blue Caribbean. But the lengthening shadow of Cuba will hinder the way. And the fruit boat's right on the way, and the crew will dream of return back to the Florida waters for the work of unloading onto the train.
And that was Phil Oakes singing United Fruit. In case you missed the lyrics, here they are. And the fruit boats ride on the waves, and the crew will dream of returning back to the Florida waters for the work of unloading onto the trains. And the ships will dance by the shore with fruit from Venezuela, Brazil, and Costa Rica, but the fruit from the island of Cuba is carried no more. And on the decks it will lay, picked by the hands of the peons, at the lowest possible wages, while the profits are made by the strangers from far away. Now some will pick the fruit of the vine, while others will go to the mountain and eat the fruit of the hillside and learn the way of the rifle, wait for the time. Alianza dollars are spent to raise the towering buildings for the weary bones of the workers, so they will be strong in the morning to go back again. Oh, the companies keep a sharp eye and pay their respects to the army, to watch for the hot-blooded leaders and prepared for the junta to crush them like flies. So heavy the price that they pay, as daily the fruit it is stolen over the blue Caribbean, but the lengthening shadow of Cuba will hinder the way. And then the original verse, and the fruit boats ride on the waves, and the crew will dream of returning back to the Florida waters for the work of unloading onto the trains. So it looks like we're going to hear more of the rest of this last Monday at the Resource Center, the organizing resistance and hearing the voices of the folks in the benchlands, the analysis of Reggie Meisler, and some further commentary at the Huff meeting today. It's going to have to wait until, well, I guess Sunday, if it comes then, which it may well. So stay tuned, and here's more from the second meeting of the Union of the Homeless, Huff, and Food Not Bombs. and Benchlands folks and community members. And maybe maybe next Monday you'll be there too, 6 o'clock, 612 Ocean Resource Center for Nonviolence.
And so we have to be prepared to work with that reality, because that is the reality. And, you know, so when we will have been out, we've been sharing food outside every day since, it'll be 900 days on Wednesday, August 31st. We've never missed a day. And the city itself did not come through with this, with food and supplies and clothing and things like that for that whole time. So it shows that the people in the benchlands, the people living outside, the people volunteering with Food Not Bombs, we're like the ones keeping this community together, and we're getting not only no support from the city, we're being harassed by the city. You know, Joy got a $380 ticket 2 weeks ago delivering food to the benchlands. Take Back Santa Cruz calls virtually every morning the police department to have our trailer ticketed at, you know, at the town clock. We got another, you know, I had to pay another $38 ticket today. And it's just like an endless thing.
Yes. Well, I know a sorcerer on a major road who can do magic that makes itself the parking meter cannot see whether it's expired or good.
I'm glad you're going to do that. That's, you've got to put that together. So,
can you do it for anybody who wants it?
You should do it. Yes.
Kazoo and Mike White said my name. People in the Midtown are beautiful people.
Yeah.
And we don't believe in that things should happen like this, but it's happening. They're just cheating people out of no matter how much money you have, if you're in a bench lunch, you're there for a reason. Nobody really wants to be homeless. But if you're homeless, you want support. There's no fucking support anywhere in there. Santa Cruz is like better than some, worse than others, but we need some support. We need help. You wouldn't be there if you didn't need help. We're there because we need help. And people are, the community, or whatever you want to say, the step above or whatever, quit fucking us. Bad words I'm saying, but we need help. You wouldn't be there if you didn't need help. No matter why you need help, you're there. And I mean, I'm rattling on right now. But.
Okay. Yeah, people need help down there. But the thing is that people are helping each other. People are security down there. You know, people are they're solidarity. They're families. It's like a lot of people are on the street because they have no family, you know? And here they have a family. And that's really important, you know, that people have.
That's important down there for you,
Jeff. Yeah. It's emotional support as well as, like, you know, and people should get a chance. Probably you want somebody like me to walk you through just so that people are familiar and don't look at you wacky. But it's such a beautiful energy. Yes.
Yeah, that's probably the most important question you raised there, because what is the relationship between homeless people, this group, and the general community of Santa Cruz?
Right.
Why don't you come up?
The disrespect that I'm getting because I'm where I'm at in the baseline is so unheard of. The disrespect, because when I go to another, like, another person or another, whatever you want to call it, because I'm in a baseline, I'm disrespected? No, that shouldn't be like that.
No.
It shouldn't be like that. That's what I get all the time.
Trophot.
Yeah, exactly like Bob said. Trophot. I'm like seen as a downward person. No. I have more money than most of them do because of divorce. I don't get it. But that doesn't mean that I'm disrespectful for them or. I just don't agree with that. I mean, I look down on them because I live in the bench.
All right. But this should be done. This is really important. Winning the respect of enough people in the community, because we as a group will show them a model of what we can do. That has to be a very comprehensive model. It has to be a model where everybody's willing to learn some skills. Everybody wants to be productive, but in your own way, in your own design. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the community, powerful people, who are not content with the way the politicians are handling this at all, believe me. And I'm referring to people who own big businesses. They don't want this thing continuing the way it is. That the business people want a solution. The property owning class, they want a solution. And we should anticipate that we're going to have to work with the wealth of the community and the what they call the big stakeholders of the community. Outside of government, in a sense, government is incapable. But people who run businesses, people who are running real estate companies, people who are financing real estate transactions, if we could just get 1 or 1.5% or 2% of those top-level property transactions that go on around here, that's a lot of funding. And we're offering a design of something that will work and will keep the peace so that the police will be happy that we're doing this as well. We if we build the solution, we'll get the respect and we'll get the funding, believe me. But we have to do it ourselves, citizens, grassroots, okay?
You want to speak? Okay. And then, so, yeah, just raise your hand if you want to speak, even if you don't live in the basement. Cool. Maybe you live on the left. Okay.
I live in Benchlands. My name is Robert. I put together this flyer, which is really, this meeting is more relevant than this flyer. But the reason I did this is it talks about the city council, what I call the shitty council, meeting tomorrow. And it, some of the information is on it. Keith has sent out some information too. But it's these continued meetings, and it's also, I think, to challenge the mythology that I think some of you have talked about that Benchlands is a dangerous place. Don't go down there. It's full of drug addicts and junkies who will get you. You'll be prostituted if you're a woman. Now, I'm not saying that some of these things don't necessarily happen, but that's not the impression we're getting from the folks here and from people who are regular visitors to the Benchlands. I go there at least on a weekly or monthly basis, somewhere there, and I know people who are there. So the question is how to change the mythology. I don't know if I agree with Nick, the last speaker, who says appeal to the upper 1% and get them to believe only if you're really hardworking enough and you prove you're a good person to them. Mythology is a hard thing to challenge. It doesn't really have a lot of rational basis. One suggestion that came up at the Huff meetings, that's the group I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is to have other groups who help support community resistance to the last attempt to evict the Benchlands in the winter of 2000. There was community members who came out in mass and tried to stop it. There was the Comrades Cafe, there was a Santa Cruz, there was Love Boat. We have a representative of Love Boat here today, or at least someone who has worked with Love Boat. Joy over there. We have groups that could get together as well who are already sympathetic, who dispute this mythology, who say that there's people, actually real people living in the Benchlands who need to be treated as real people. So I've got some suggestions about what to do over on the bulletin board if you ever get curious, bored or cranky and want to check it out. I have one suggestion, which is you've heard some from Alicia and from Keith regarding, flood the existing shelters, and then so they haven't got an excuse to say, open bids, see, we can send you anywhere we want, get out, get lost, or go to jail, which is going to be, I suspect, their strategy. They've done this in other cities, and they've done it in the Benchlands in the past. But another strategy is they're going to come to you and they're going to say, here is a shelter for you. Will you go there? You don't have to say yes, and you don't have to say no. If you say no, you're shelter resistant. Therefore, you can be written as, we offered him a shelter, he didn't go anywhere. So you might want to use an ambiguous answer when you're asked that question. Another thing to do is something that Wes Widener, who is this journalist, who's videoing, and will be putting this online later, in his John Doe 13K YouTube channel, if you want to see it. And I don't know when the podcast that Commander X is going to put up. Is there a place they can reach that, Commander X?
Yeah.
I'll get that to everybody.
You'll put that out? Okay. Wes always says to me at the end of, I interview him for Free Radio, document, document, document. If you're approached by a police officer and you have some kind of way of documenting, whether it's a friend nearby or whether it's a pencil and paper that you later write 5 minutes later, what happened to you, the name of the cop, what happened, or if you have a phone that you can use but looks like an audio device, try to do that because that can help Keith, Alicia, and anyone else who's putting together an injunction later. I was trying to circulate last time a series, a listing for people to let people know if you're in the Benchlands where your tent is, if there are people you trust here in this group, that you want to be able to you to be contacted later so that you can be. But I think that's probably being done independently, so that may not be necessary. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to suggest to you. There is a thing called HUF, which meets every Thursday. It's a small group, usually 5 to 12 people, but they're at the Sub Rosa, and we supply, unlike this meeting, real coffee.
Yeah.
Now, I'm told that you can't do it here because it's, you know, it's the rug. They don't want the coffee to fill on the rug. So, but, you know, come, and I don't know about it, it's been suggested you go to the city council tomorrow. That's at 11:30 when the city council starts. The problem with the city council meeting tomorrow is the two items that you can read it on the back of this flyer that I gave you, 19.1 and 19.2, are at a time indeterminate. You're not sure when you're going to be able to hear them. But there is a determinate time, which is at 5 o'clock. There is a meeting where Keith, you're still calling for people to come tomorrow at city council. There's a thing called oral communication that starts at 6. And the point is, it really is to show numbers. City council is not going to listen to you, but it does go out to the community. So that's what I suggest. I don't know if I can answer the question, but what is
the address of the city council?
Sorry?
What's the address?
It's a good question. The address is right across from the main library. It's at 809 Center Street.
We have flyers with the address here.
And that's that.
And when is your meeting then?
The meeting of the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom Hub is every Thursday at 10:45 in the morning until 1 or 1:30 in the afternoon at the Sub Rosa Cafe. And that's 703 Pacific, which is right next to the Bike Church, if you know where the Bike Church is. It's right there. And there it's free, huh? I think that's it. I suggest you look, if you follow Facebook, Keith has posted a variety of photos of the Benchlands, which are really, they give the positive side of the Benchlands. I like it. I mean, I always like to say you want to take the whole picture, the positive and the negative, both. But the positive side is important because so many homeless people I've talked to at Food Not Bombs, I'll ask them, what do you think of the Benchlands? Oh, the Benchlands. I never go there. Not because, have you ever been there? Do you have any friends there? Do you go there? I don't want to. It's a mythology that spreads that has to be fought. It's really bad news. And
you'd think there'd be some accountability there for women, as opposed to just being randomly out under a bush somewhere where, yeah, you're way more likely to get raped just randomly somewhere than at the Benchlands, I would imagine.
Yeah, I can't vouch for that. It has to be people who live in the Benchlands who can talk more authoritatively about that. And I would ask if anybody who lives in the Benchlands who has a sense of whether women are safer in the Benchlands, more accountable in the Benchlands than just sleeping alone under a bush, as you say. The mythology is, oh no, it's much worse because it's the Benchlands. You know that.
I would refer back to the testimony we received at federal court during the Ross camp when we had women, Maggie. And we also had Crystal, and we had several women come there and say specifically that it was a safer environment, that they actually had been or know of women who in the past had gotten sexually assaulted while being on the street in a bush, et cetera, because no one was there to witness these type of events, and that the environments where people are allowed to shelter together provide a sense of safety and security that is not available if you're by yourself.
And definitely with at least some witnesses, right?
I mean, the other thing is the city needs to be providing resources. There is supposedly in this upcoming city council meeting authorization that gives $1 million to abolish the bench lands. There's also a certain amount for trash abatement for the next 4 months, it says.
Wow.
So there seems to be some kind of indication that they may be at least claiming that they're going to be doing very slow phasing out. In other words, they'll do the lobster approach. They'll only put you very slowly into the hot water. They'll remove a part of you. Camel's nose will come in and grab a few people out eventually, and then a few more. It'll be in phases. Maybe they'll make it very very friendly. But the point is, resources for people are needed in the bench lands now, is my sense. When I've been down there and talked to people, you know, rat problems, fire problems, it can't be addressed if resources are provided, more resources are provided. And so that's something that can be brought up, not so much at city council tomorrow, though I think you should bring it up and protest at 5 o'clock and show up there, 809 Center Street, but throughout the next few weeks, throughout the next few months, whenever you gather together, and we need groups that gather together, I think there need to be events in the benchlands. I'm not the man to organize them, but there has to be food at rallies, there has to be some entertainment, there has to be stuff that calls in community members, perhaps the way Nick was talking about, which is to say, you want to invite members of the community who are uncertain. There are neighborhood groups around that I think I'm not particularly hopeful about, but they do, you know, they do live around the benchlands. They at least make token efforts to invite people to their meetings. I think Keith, you and I attended one of their earlier meetings. I think it's called the San Lorenzo Neighborhood Association. So that's a bunch of ideas that I just want to throw out at you. And I got a couple of these flyers left. If anybody didn't get one, ask me. You get a flyer? Cool. You have a question? From me or from you?
Okay. Garrett. Yeah. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I talked earlier. I just want to say we came up with an idea the other day. This is something where we don't have any money for this. But if you all, and I can't make people interested in this. So if you guys are interested in this, you need to reach out to Keith McHenry and then through him to me. But one of the things I talked about with Keith on the way home from the last meeting is I'm very savvy at putting content on the internet. It's one of the things that I do. I do it for a living, and I'm very good at it. I think that if we had some people in the benchlands who were knowledgeable about how to stream on Twitch, how to post videos to YouTube, how to post pictures, how to work with Twitter and other social media to advocate, you could even, one idea I had was you could even form a benchland sort of media committee. If you were willing to do that, if you were willing to organize something like that on your own, I would be willing to give up my time and provide classes to help walk you through how to post media on the internet and how to make a difference with that media. So if that's something that interests you, get together, reach out to Keith, get a group of yourselves, even if it's only two or three, and I'll be willing to sit down with you. If it's only a few of us, we can do it at a coffee house. If it's more than that, we'll find space to do it. You'll need to provide your own equipment. You'll need to provide your own phones and laptops. I don't have any money for this idea, but if you're interested, I'm willing to give up my time to show you guys what I know. It's very easy to do it with very minimal amount of equipment. You see me, I'm live on television right now with a cell phone. So if you're interested, let me know. Let Keith know.
Right. Okay, so Garrett, you had a comment. Come on up. Okay. Let me pull it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so San Lorenzo Park 2 years ago was a Stop the Sweeps protest. So it was very much like Stop the Sweeps, and they kind of set it up for us, and they didn't set it up for us. It was just that we even caught Andy Mills being asked the question, where do people go? And he was like, oh, they're going to have to figure it out. And that was the best phrasing he could come up with. So, like, that made it very easy for us to arrange to lock arms around the tents. Because then we can be like, you're going to have to come up with something better than that. You can't just say, oh, yeah, well, they're gonna figure it out. It was literally sweep. It was just kind of like, get out of there. So this time they're being more careful. But last time the message was a lot of the time, it really was, where are they going to go? Where are you going to provide for people to go? And that gave us some really good organizing strength because that was so open-ended. But the message over the years got boiled down to with the TRO, which helped lead and lock that area. It led to leave the bench. It changed to leave the bench lines alone. If you see what I mean, it got changed from where, what space are you going to give people to go or they're able to go to leave this specific area alone. So then the city goes, oh, okay, and then they make it into a. They see their traps, so then they push everybody into that one area. And, like, if you look around Santa Cruz and see fences anywhere, there's really a history of protest movements that are basically, like, why those fences are there. Like, Ross Camp and Long Housing Matters and that sort of stuff. So, basically, like, that's kind of one thing we really got to be doing with this is like really demand that people have a safe space to sleep if they're going to make any sort of claim that they're going to move people out, because right now likely the magical thinking, I guess referring to your article, is likely that they're probably going to try to get everybody up into the armory. But that's playing it. We got to think like a city manager. Okay, if you could take your hand, your claw, and move all the homeless people out of the way for a time, you could set a precedent in the entire city that homelessness isn't allowed, so that all of a sudden it's awkward and hard for people to move back in once they're out there. Because if people were, like, out in the armory for, let's say they were able to keep everybody somehow out in the Gulflands for a year, they'd build strongholds, they literally have... There's giant buildings going up in the city. They fence lots of stuff off and set the precedent so that people couldn't move back in. So that would make it really hard and awkward for people to reestablish themselves in the city. And it would be kind of making a bet that's like, I bet you're not going to take the shuttle every day to come back to Santa Cruz. So it's a real strong eviction strategy, basically. It's like, pull them away and... pull them away and leave them there, and then try to build up your defenses so that they can't stream back through. So anyway, Harvey West held 60 people. I don't think there's anybody in Harvey West right now. Hell's Trail has had strong communities in the past. I don't think it's fenced. Santa Cruz Nutritionals is basically surrounded by what was kind of strong OVO, like vehicle presence, but in the back of Santa Cruz Nutritionals. City Council has even drawn up maps of, hey, like, what if this was an area where a camp went? But the problem is West Side Santa Cruz probably has a lot of people that would want to organize and be like, don't you dare come in the West Side. So, like basically, like, I don't know. There's, like, Harvey West definitely in Hell's Trail. But, like, I think it's pretty fair to say, like, it's fair to be like, we would lock arms around the tents to be like, you can't sweep these tents if the only solutions you're offering is you need to get on this system where you get carpooled out of town and come back into town. Because if they did that, like going back to what I was saying earlier, if they're able to do that for 10 months, then they could shut down the Gulflands. And then the whole city's defended. And so it's like, all right, now what are you going to do? And then everybody lost their power. So it's like, I think that's what Hoffaker's going to do. I've heard that's what he's done in Watsonville. That he'll make that sort of stuff. And if you let people move a little bit, Hoffaker, the city manager, if you let people move a little bit at a time, you can see what spots they're going to try to relocate to. And I feel like they did this just at Food Not Bombs. They let us leave Lot 27. They closed down because they wanted to build a big building. So they let us go to a new parking lot and set up for about a week so that they were just like, all right, yeah, get out of here. And then they set the fences up and then came over and swept us a week later because it was more easy to sweep us at that point.
And this is Garrett Phillips, Garrett Stevens, sorry, Garrett. This is about all we have time for, but I will probably play a little more of this, and you can certainly watch it. If you go to the Commander X video channel, you'll find it, as well as the actual the video of people who are making these speeches and saying these things. I'm going to play for you now a relatively long Phil Oakes song to kind of go out on. And it's one that I haven't heard for quite a while. I was one of the first ones I ever heard. And it's called, and I would read the lyrics, except the song is, I think, sung clearly enough and slowly enough and without excessive orchestration that you can actually follow them yourself. So this is it, When in Rome, from his album Tape from California, recorded in 1968, according to the notes online.
Faded and forgotten, I crawled through the cotton fields picking for cotton. The overseer sneered, his whipping was rotten with ecstasy. In childlike terror, I tore at the taproots. Guards of the lash were calling to follow suit. I dashed for the swamps, the hounds in hot pursuit. Jealously, all through the night, a figure of fright as I hid my head. And they buried their nose in a cut of my clothes, now torn in shreds. And they never would leave till they believed that I was dead. To the soldiers when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Frail and afraid in the mist of the morning, the snakes and the spiders were sadly performing. The bark of the dogs kept up the warning inside the woods. Sweating and swearing, I crawled from the manger. The highway appeared to take me from danger. Is there anyone here who would pick up a stranger? Oh, I wish you could. Then someone replied, would you like a ride? Come in, he said. We drove for a while. He gave me a smile and a piece of bread. The hammer was hard in the chrome of the car as I cracked his head. To the soldiers, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Late in the the evening I came to the city. I fell to the sidewalk sighing for pity. A diamond was dropped from the hands of the pretty to be so kind. Cowards and corpses were busy competing. The rhymes of the riots were busy repeating. I raced to the corner and sped from the speeding to save my mind. Latches and locks, companies of cops ran from the rain. There was silk in the stores for the whims of the whores that shone with shame. I asked for a light from a priest in the night, then I fanned the flames. And the traffic all stood still. See if someone had been killed. I was glad to leave a thrill so far behind. And all the high-born ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. A monk and his mother were dancing so dandy. The topless nun was handing out candy. The beautiful bishop broke out the brandy. The kiss we craved. They stuttered and stammered, would I feel like staying? We fell to our knees, feverishly praying. The salt in the saltpeter seemed to be saying, be brave, be brave. I reached for a robe, I preached and I probed, and I taught the tomb. And the greed for the guilt was played to the hilt as I promised doom. I toyed with their fears till coins and tears filled the room. Then I took off. And all the high-born ladies, so lovely and so true, have been handed to the soldiers. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. A chorus of children were passing the hours. I joined in their fun and gave them my flowers, covered with kisses and showered with showers that they repaid. Taking and trusting, would I be their teacher? She looked so appealing, I wanted to touch her. Just out of reach, unable to reach her, their hands were raised. Charmed by the chalk, the lessons were taught inside the class. They studied the rules of the samurai schools they had to pass. The room was adjourned, the lessons were learned. I turned on